Hang in there, it is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to The Smiley Show, and today we've got something a little special cooked up for you, because today is our big TGL preview episode. We're dropping this kind of middle back end of December. The league launches first week of January. We're super fired up about that. He is Smiley Kaufman, of course. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see me, Charlie Hume, kind of getting ready for the Palm Beach TGL vibes, but also still basking in the glow of Bill Belichick with my North Carolina Hawaiian shirt. Smiley, what do you think of this little fit I got rocking here, bud?
It just reminds me of a 12 o'clock Sunday frat lunch meeting going over nothing.
it definitely has those vibes. A quick story on this shirt. I've been asked by my friends to burn this numerous times, because every time I wear this to a Carolina game, we lose the game.
You've worn that to a game?
Multiple games. In fact, I was in the Mercedes-Benz, whatever, Superdome, wherever they call that, in Atlanta, when we were getting stomped by Georgia Tech in the 2021 season. And I took it off. I was shirtless in the Mercedes-Benz, you know, dome the entire fourth quarter, trying to reverse the curse. But
did not have a shirt on in a football game.
Yep. I was trying to get rid of the bad juju. You know,
how many beers? My gosh.
Not enough. There wasn't enough beer in the world to watch that North Carolina Georgia Tech game.
They didn't like kick you out.
No, they were all on my side. They were really, you know,
security was in.
I have the pictures they do sometimes, the stadium, where it's the fan experience, they pan around and you can find your section and where you are.
Yeah.
I have one, the season opener that year at Virginia Tech, where like it's the first game post COVID pandemic, and Enter Sandman plays and the stadium's rocking. And I was like, oh yeah, no, we're not going to win this football game. And so there's a picture of me in Lane Stadium, like at the top of the bleacher, just looking super sad with this Hawaiian shirt, like four buttons down. It's one of the most brutal pictures of all time. And I was like, you know, that's about where we were that season. So yeah. New hope though. I'm reviving it. I think Bill Belichick can take the bad juju off this shirt. If anyone can, he can. So that's enough on Carolina football. I promise we'll stop doing this every show, at least until next fall. Today is a TGL preview, okay? And we are both really fired up about this, because this episode is going to consist of a few things. It's a conversation with Ricky Fowler, who's been down there to test at the SoFi Center on the screen. Mm-hmm. We've seen some video come out on social in the last couple of days of Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa, just being blown away by that venue. So Rick's going to come on, talk a little bit about the league, you know, what it's going to be like to play these virtual courses in that setting. You know, of course, there's a giant simulator screen, but there's also that green zone where they can hit real shots out of bunkers and put on a real green. Super, super cool stuff. We're also going to have Augie Pisa, designer. Augie Pisa. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I think I got his name right. Pisa, that's what it was. Good. Course architect. He has a firm, Pisa Golf. Super energetic, fun guy to talk about a number of his virtual designs he's done for the TGL. They're going to play different courses and rotate in different holes. We went over six of his holes and really, really unique holes. Like, think Tiger Woods 2004, you know, create a course type holes that I'm super pumped about. So we're going to get to that later in the show. And then at the very end of the show, you and I are going to pick our teams. We're going to officially select which TGL squads we're going to be supporting for this upcoming season. So it's going to be kind of like signing day, to take this all back to college football once again.
Yeah, except without the hats for me today. I'm doing a jersey reveal instead.
I like that. I think we can probably arrange for some hats down the line from the TGL crew if we need them. But so listen, we could explain to you how TGL works. You probably already know the large gist of it. I don't think that'd be very productive. You can go to their socials, you can go to their website and read about, you know, the way this thing's going to work and the minutia and things like that. I just want to hear from you, Smiley, and I'll give you my answer after you're done. Just high level, what are you most excited to see as part of this TGL launch, this new unique venture we're going to see?
I think it's got to have to be for me. I think it's the stadium and an in-person experience, I think is definitely, hopefully that noise and that energy from a crowd will amplify what you watch on the screen, which I think for me is going to be what's going to bring a lot of people back, is the unique, you know, golf course hole designs that they're going to play. It's a very, you know, imaginative type of golf. You know, it's not something that you might only see on a few types of golf courses, right? Like some beach holes, but it's so unique in that you kind of just dream up just these incredible type of holes. And then the mix of that with something that you've never really seen before. And I'm hoping that the technology, as far as just what the players feel like they're doing and getting a result that would be similar to what would be real golf, right? I think for it to work, it's got to be so, you know, spot on and accurate. What I think would be frustrating is if the players are hitting good shots and then they're not maybe is getting quite as rewarded as they normally would. That would be, you know, frustrating to watch, because, you know, you want to watch really good shots go in the hole, because that would be a lot of fun. I want to watch guys celebrating, running to the simulator and back doing suicides. Yeah. So I think all of that. And then I think this is a kind of a lame way to end what I'm most excited about. But I think just having just general teams is cool. You know, I think when you can start to group in players like the Boston group with Adam Scott, Keegan,
the Ball Frogs,
Hideki, and Rory, I think where the professional game of golf is going, we're not going to get into a PGA Tour Live discussion in this podcast. This is all about TGL. But the only thing I will say is that if we get to a point down the road where we're going to have maybe teams play against each other with LIV and PGA, the concept kind of makes sense that these teams are already built, and it's like, hey, let's do a TGL team created deal with LIV guys, or maybe the LIV players are going to be able to play eventually down the road in this format. So I think it's really good timing. The fact that, first off, last year, this thing wasn't ready at all. It would have been an absolute nightmare from everybody I've spoken to about this. So having that extra year to really build, to make sure that this thing is ready to rock and roll, because your first impression is so important.
I agree with all of that. I think we're going to have a phenomenon where, you remember, you and I grew up in the era of time where we remember the televisions that had really, really small screens, but like these huge, you know, back attachments. Like, it was impossible to move a TV without like three or four people, but the screen was only like, you know, 30 inches. Like, a 32 inch TV was monstrous at that point in time. And then we rapidly moved to the era of like the flat screen, where we went from these giant boxes that were, you know, 25, 32 inches to like 70 inch screens that were flat, you could put on a wall, and was like mind blowing, right? I think going from what you and I know from a simulator experience, where, you know, they're big simulators, but it's in these little stalls, often inside like a pub bar type setting, to this monstrous screen and seeing the way that they can display, you know, these holes, you know, and exponentially larger than you'd be accustomed to on a regular simulator. I think that's going to be pretty mind blowing. And I don't know how they're going to, you know, align perception, like if you're standing however many yards away from it, like how that's going to get displayed on the screen. I think that's going to be a really, really cool experience. I think, you know, we're going to talk to, you know, Augie, as we've talked about, and we've looked at some of his hole designs, and they are very bizarre. And I think trying to figure out how to play those holes on a 40-second shot clock is going to be hilarious, where a guy's like, wait, what's the carry and what's the wind doing? And oh my gosh, I got 50 seconds left. I can't do my whole pre-shot routine. I just got to fire this thing off. I think that's going to be really fun too. And I think they got a good crew that's bringing this thing to us. Friend of the show, Claire Rogers, announced as a digital host among another, you know, a whole really good host of ESPN talent that's going to bring this thing to life. Marty Smith's part of that as well.
Scott Van Pelt, the host. I think that's
SVP.
Getting back to his golf roots. If you don't recall, Scott got his start in the golf channel.
Yeah, so I think it's I think the whole presentation of the thing is going to be very unique. So in addition to everything you've said, I'm excited just to kind of get in that arena. As you're hearing this, I'm probably in there right now, walking around trying to figure out what the heck's going on inside the SoFi Center. So
I think you're going to be blown away. I think when you see it in person, I haven't, but from the people I have talked to, it's pretty dang cool. So.
Love
it. I look forward to hearing your feedback.
So, okay. So that just concludes this intro portion of the show. And again, if you want to like dig into how this thing's going to work, you can either go to the TGL website or the TGL social pages and figure that out. Or you can maybe look at our Instagram story or our Twitter today, because I'm just going to be roving around with the phone, just taking video of everything I can capture. Here's where we're going next. We're going to go to Ricky Fowler, who is, I want to make sure I get this right, a member of New York Golf Club alongside Matt Fitzpatrick, Xander Schauffele, and Cam Young. Rick's going to get us dialed in on how that whole thing is going to work, his experience playing, hitting balls inside the SoFi Center. And then on the back end of the interview, we're going to talk to Augie Pissa. So without further ado, Smiley, let's get right to Ricky Fowler.
All right, guys, we got Ricky Fowler joining the program. Ricky, second time on the show. We're going to be talking a little TGL. We're going to talk maybe a little bit of your golf this season, but you just finished up the Grant Thornton playing with Lexi. How was this past week, man?
I mean, it was fun. It's a grind, though, especially when you get out there an alternate shot.
Because you both get to hit a drive and pick one and then play alternate, or is it true? Oh, it's true alternate shot.
Yeah, straight up.
That's my nightmare.
So, okay. I mean, obviously there were some teams out there that played some pretty good golf, because it was windy, it was gusty. It wasn't easy. We're both of us, you know, I wouldn't say we're on top of our A game, but we had a good time. It was more, you know, looking at it, hey, let's, obviously we were trying to go out and play well, but it's just fun because it's such a different event. You know, it's not something that we, you know, let alone get to play the formats very often, but, you know, mix it up and tee it up with the women. It's fun. It's fun to watch them play and, you know, try and battle it out together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know most weeks are used to getting a lot of Ricky chants. I've played with you before. It's actually quite annoying how many people yell Ricky at you on a golf course. But when you're paired with Lexi, would you say that there's more Lexi chants or more Ricky chants? Where exactly is the bar here? Are we Ricky more or Lexi more here on the screams?
I'm going to go 50-50. Okay. Who knows? I don't know. It could be skewed one way or the other, but it may have helped that it was my birthday on Friday.
That's what got us to 50-50.
I think that's where it evened it out a little bit.
I love it. Well, let's get into TGL here, because I'm so curious. Charlie's going to be going to Media Day this week. Charlie, is that right?
Tomorrow. Well, actually, tomorrow. If you're listening to this right now, it's today. So
it's right.
A little plug. Go to our social pages. Check out live coverage. There you go.
Yeah. So Charlie will be there tomorrow. Ricky, you went.
I'll be there tomorrow too.
You're gonna be there tomorrow.
See you there.
Okay.
Rick.
Well, how about this? But Rick, all right. So when have you gone to the SoFi Center? Just one time? Or you've been multiple times?
I went about a month ago, just kind of for a run through to see a little bit of everything, hit a few shots. You know, and they're still building out and kind of finalizing a lot of things. So I think they're going to be working pretty hard through the holidays and to make sure that, like, the golf side of it's pretty much all ready to go. And then we went in last night and did a little sim match and played some other guys. So, now been on site twice. I'm planning, well, obviously, Media Day, but outside of that, going to try and go maybe a couple more times to
understand just a little bit more.
It's obviously it's not real golf, but it's not, you know, hitting balls in your bedroom simulator or office simulator. It's somewhere kind of in between. They're all, you know, new holes. They're not holes that you've seen before. They were designed just for this. So there's a little bit of adjusting to do between, you know, hitting on, you know, the monitors and how the ball reacts there. And then also how, you know, it is chipping off of the synthetic and playing on the synthetic green.
Can we break any news here, though, on this match?
Thank you. Like, I was about
Was there a wager? Was there a winner? Or is it
who played?
What happens in the sim stays in the sim type of situation here?
No, it was, you know, there, it wasn't, we weren't playing other TGL guys. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Even more intriguing.
Yeah. Okay. So they've been running a bunch of sim matches, whether, you know, guys from TGL are playing or not. A bunch of, you know, local pros, other tour players, you know, some PGA professionals, really just to get anyone in there to kind of play and run through the system and make sure that not just on the golf side of things, you know, that those are running how they should be, but also for camera timing and, you know, the behind the scenes stuff to make sure come January 7th that, hey, we're good to go. And, you know, hopefully no hiccups.
And how did you end up on the New York team? Because, you know, you live down in Florida. Like, how did the whole process of finding your way on one of these teams come about?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being just completely honest, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how the whole process necessarily went.
Congrats, you're on the New York team.
That's I know. Luckily, I was in a position where I had heard that, you know, a few different teams, you know, wanted to have me, which is great to be in that spot. Like, okay, they actually want me to play here or there. But I think that's above my pay grade. I'm not sure how all the guys, other than maybe like Tiger being with Jupiter Lynx, I think that might have been a shoe in. I don't know how they went through the process. If it was like a, you know, behind closed doors draft day or what.
Yeah. I mean, Tiger's an LA guy though. So you could have made a case, for him being a potential LA guy. So now when I look at Ricky Fowler, I see like Italian Ricky Fowler, like New York accent. So you're gonna have to find a way to bring that out during the coverage, right?
I'm not sure how good my acting really is.
You like pasta, don't you?
Who doesn't like pasta? I mean, we're making pizza tonight, so
let's go.
It has to fit a little bit. I think there's definitely some continuity with certain guys that makes sense. You know, with Cam Young on our team, you know, growing up in New York. But you obviously couldn't have teams where everyone was, you know, either from or have ties to that area. So definitely excited with Steve Cohen and Andy Cohen and you know, the guys kind of heading up our New York golf club. It's been fun. We had a good trip up to New York for kind of our team media day up there.
I saw you on Fallon. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was you know, he's also a part of our ownership group.
He's like, you guys come up, we'll get you on. And so now you're ahead of the curve as far as people trying to pick a team.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's how we got on the show. I don't know if he was involved. I don't know if he would have really have wanted us on there.
We've been having a side debate here, Ricky, about your logo. Do you know what type of bird that is in the logo?
Well, it's the state bird. I can't remember the name exactly.
There we go. Yes. I thought it was a pigeon. Just because New York City pigeon would have made sense there.
I can look it up real quick, but
the New York golf pigeons, the New York pigeons. Well, like, y'all need to get a pigeon as a mascot. You should have Charlie be the mascot and he will be a pigeon.
According to here is Eastern Bluebird.
Yeah. Eastern Bluebird's great. I just think pigeon would have fit the city vibe a little bit better. So if you need anyone to come in and make that pitch, Ricky, I'm available at almost any time.
You were even saying, Charlie, how smart pigeons are. And I didn't know this about pigeons.
I'll ping the thread after with a really good podcast about how maligned the pigeon brand has been over the years in the United States. These are very smart birds. I mean, we can do a deep dive another time, but just know that, Ricky, if you hear people dumping on pigeons, it's not the case. Great, very beautiful, smart, elegant birds. Many people say great team mascots as well. So just something to think about.
This could be, down the road if, you know,
alt logo.
There needs to be a change at all, or I'll let the guys know.
Okay. SoFi Center, big screen. We know how big. We've seen pictures, videos. My one question that strikes me as somebody who occasionally misses the center of the face is, can you miss the screen? Can you miss the screen? Is it possible?
For the laterals kind of it, it would be tough. just and, with the amount of forward momentum the ball's gonna have.
So let's say hypothetically it was hit closer to the heel and the laterals like you're talking about, and you miss the screen. Are there people that would be up and to the right, or are they all back behind you?
No, you're safe. You're good.
Okay, clears it all. You know,
the only area is if you may get a little short-armed on a bunker shot.
Gosh, I hate that.
Yeah, there's
a lot of chunk and runs happening at the TGL. Take the under on approach proximity on bunker shots.
Yeah, that's great, though. That's like a foul ball situation. Yeah, but your fans get a lucky souvenir.
The bunkers play very soft and kind of foamy.
Soft and foamy. What does that even mean?
It's sand, and then it's a pretty fine sand. And then underneath the sand, the liner is another layer of a type of AstroTurf. And so it's kind of spongy. Ooh. So that's taken a little bit of time to, you know, get used to or trust that, you know, how slow it is. So be careful. There could be a little bit of a thin one that might come out hot.
Yes. All right. So when the lights come on for this thing, what do you think is going to be the most challenging thing to get used to when you're playing simulator golf? Because it's not like real golf. You're looking at a big screen. You know, you also need to have your brain kind of turned on to have a personality to, you know, make it appealing for fans. Do you think that'll be difficult for some guys, like to be able to, you know, get out of routine golf and have a shot clock? Is there anything that you're concerned about as far as just how it's going to work?
Well, I mean, it'll definitely come down to the players need to be, you know, fairly vocal and talk through things, because there's not going to be a bunch of people on the floor. I mean, there will be some people part of the telecast and helping, you know, keep things going, but it's ultimately us playing golf, hitting shots and you know, having some sort of audio input there. It does move pretty quickly. You still have plenty of time to hit shots. I think you get like two timeouts. So potentially, depending on players, I mean, there might be one player that uses up all the timeouts for the team.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely going to be some adjustments. I think there's going to be guys that do a lot better basically on camera for the entertainment side of it. And there's going to be guys that, you know, might struggle with it and have to learn a little bit. It's all brand new, different. It's kind of, you know, us being first match, you know, hopefully everything runs smoothly and we can at least
y'all are first match.
Yeah, we're January 7th, first one.
Who y'all playing? The Bay, right? The Bay, I believe.
I think Bay, yeah.
Okay,
how about that?
Are you playing? Like, does everybody play?
No, it's three. Is it three guys? Right,
three of the four play.
And when does that get announced?
That I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Are you playing?
Well, I was talking about it. So, yeah, I am planning to play, yes.
Yay! Breaking news!
Starting lineup, baby. Let's go.
They haven't kicked me off the team yet. That's the plan. We're staying around in Jupiter in South Florida through that first match and then flying out to West Coast from there.
How about that? Ricky, you mentioned earlier on in the interview just talking about the uniqueness of the holes, and we're actually about to talk to Augie Pisah, one of the designers that put some of these together. I'm curious, how much video game golf did you play growing up, like the Tiger Woods 04, the video game generated courses? And is there any sort of connection in your brain, you know, of those odd designs with what you're about to see and play at the SoFi Center?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play a bunch of video games growing up, but if there was some that I did, it was a little bit on the golf side, which I was probably, for the most part, always better in real life than I was on a video game.
Yeah.
Says how much I play video games. like racing and, you know, cars and stuff like that. I would say I haven't seen all the holes, but from what I've seen, you get a mix of holes that look somewhat normal and then others that obviously can only be done in basically simulator or a video game.
Is it hard? Like, is it, you know, comparatively to playing golf, you know, I was asking Augie this, who we've already done our record with, about wind. You know, for a golfer, it's such a thing that you can feel and just instinctively know what the shot is. Mm-hmm. And I assume wherever it shows you it's a 10-mile-an-hour crosswind and not knowing exactly how much that moves, how big of an adjustment that is from a playing standpoint, because you're going to be in a building that's got nice AC with no wind, and then your ball hits the screen, and then maybe that left to right fade that you had with some crosswind starts going right. Like, is that the hard part?
Yeah, I don't know if they've fully decided on wind or not yet. I know that was an aspect.
Okay.
They've thrown it out there, and I think have had, you know, some mixed reviews on the player side, just because of the things that you're bringing up. So it'll be interesting to find out if that's going to be a for sure thing that's going to be in there or not. I've only hit a couple shots with wind in there. For the most part, the majority have been just zero wind.
Yeah.
And you still have to kind of hit some shots in there to adjust to, just because you feel like you're aiming in the right spot. I guess just getting kind of calibrated or zeroed in and in the visuals of hitting into a screen. You know, being in there, I was in there with Xander and Cam last night, and some of the hardest ones were from the up tee, which is, it's 21 yards to the screen. Oh. When you have like a 40 yard pitch and you're trying to like fly at 30 yards and, you know, into the screen, visually the things look at that point, look farther away. So hitting your numbers, those were kind of the hardest, 'cause there's no real, your depth perception in those areas isn't great.
Yeah. 'Cause like 30, 60 yard shots on a golf course, or even 20 to 60 yards, a lot of guys just play off of feel of what they see from a depth perception standpoint. So if it says 44 yards and you see that and you say it looks further away, I imagine that you almost have to go in your brain and like picture something completely different. What is 44 yards, and like completely disregard what you're looking at in front of you.
Yeah, because like, I mean, up and around, once you're inside about 30 yards is when you're playing from around the,
gotcha,
the actual green. So you get to, you know, hit a shot into a green. But I think that weird spot is like 40 to 60 yards. Because typically, yeah, a lot of guys, you know, 70 and 80 yards, you still have kind of an off-speed feel or kind
right,
of spot
right,
where you're kind of hitting your number. That 40 to 60 can be a little interesting when you're just trying to hit into a screen and hope for the best.
Now, Ricky, are you playing these warm-up matches with that 40-second shot clock?
Yeah. Yeah, we had the clock
on. Okay.
Is that fast? Is that fast? Does it?
No, it never felt rushed. 'Cause you're like, when it's before it's your turn, you know, whether it's in the first nine holes when it's alternate shot, typically it's not directly like straight into your shot. Like, you have time to look, whether it's on like iPad, which is basically like our yardage book, or the big screen,
that's
our big TV next to where our bench or bags and everything are. And
yeah,
you can start looking at how far, you know, where am I trying to hit it? So once it's your turn, you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to be doing. So it does move fairly quickly, and it partly needs to, because of, you know, the entertainment side of it, and
yeah,
not having just dead time and someone, you know, waiting to go hit their shot. Once you get kind of the rhythm and the flow, it's fine.
Okay. Two quick questions on the way out here, Ricky. First, so you just talked about playing from just like the fairway spot and like even the up tee. What about like when you hit one in the rough? Augie was kind of talking to us a little bit about that. What is that like? I'm curious, like, what the penalty is for hitting it not in the fairway off of the tee. And I assume the golf ball is coming off with less spin and not going anywhere. Like, what is that hole's setup like?
Yeah. So you have the two tee box areas. You know, once you get a little closer, that's where you go to the 21 yard box. And then the other one is 35 or so yards from the screen. But so in the middle, you have fairway and it's all real grass.
Yeah.
And then on the right side, you have basically like a 2 to 3 inch rough.
Okay.
And that's real grass.
Bermuda?
I believe it's rye.
Okay, gotcha.
And then on the left side, they have sand. So you'll place it in the sand, you'll place it in the fairway, and then you drop in the rough.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because that, you know, out of a rye rough, you could find a lie. But you got a drop, that's different. Okay. So it's a penalty for hitting it in the rough.
Yeah, I mean, it's playable. It's not like you're hacking it out of rough, but, you know, you're going to get some, you know, right up the face or some ones that, you know, possibly come out slow, some that jump, you know, some that get a little squirrely. But it's very playable. It's like I said, you're not just trying to chop it out of there and run it.
Okay. All right. Well, Charlie and I are big power rankings guys, because who isn't? Everybody loves power rankings. So can you slot in the New York Golf Club in a 1 to 6 power rankings? Do you like you at one? Or would you like to maybe leave a little room for improvement? Where do you think preseason power rankings, if the AP pool is coming out, where are you slotting the New York Golf Club?
Someone had mentioned me or asked me something similar and said that there was a ranking kind of out and had I think it had Boston at one. And, I don't know if we were like 2 or 3. I like the 2-3 spot somewhere in there.
Expectations are, you know, not through the roof. We're not trying to win yet until we're there. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yes. Yeah, so you don't necessarily want to go into it with the bullseye on your back. But at the same time, I feel like we have the guys on our team are wanting to be prepared for, you know, to go out and play and not show up, you know, necessarily first match or the first match you get to play and not know what's going on and just wing it.
This guy knows what he's doing, Charlie. I mean, come on.
Without a doubt. I'm feeling really strong about the pigeons right now. Big pigeons guy.
God, we should have talked about this before, Charlie. We needed to have a mascot pigeon that you could have put on at the end of this. That was just bad planning by us.
We got all season long. We can do a big college game day, playoffs. I can put the pigeon head on. A lot of season left ahead of us.
That's a good point.
Did you guys, if you notice, they did a pretty good job with the logo. The body of the bird is a driver head.
Oh, wow. I'm just seeing that now.
I just went on Google and typed in New York. It started typing pigeons.
Maybe that'll be the nickname.
That's perfect. The pigeon roost for all the real
fans. Oh, it is
a
driver. Yeah. I see
that's
it now.
Good graphic design. Really good graphic design right
they
there.
They did a good job with it.
That is incredible. The New York Golf Club pigeons. All right. Perfect. Yeah. All right, Rick. Thanks for coming on, man. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate you. And best of luck in 2025. Hope to talk to you soon, brother.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, Rick. Thanks, man. Ricky.
All right. See you, boys.
Well, really appreciate Ricky Fowler of New York Golf Club taking the time to break down the SoFi Center and what he's most looking forward to with TGL. Good to your buddy to hop on, Smiley. And now we're going to Augie Pisah. And we've seen some of these hole rendering, Smiley. You have a lot of questions. You've seen the overhead designs. What are you most looking forward to here with Augie?
Well, I did the recon. I feel like I have questions about, you know, the player side of how, you know, this whole stadium's going to work, right? Like, I know you hit off the grass, but like, yep. Is there a penalty when you hit it out of play in some bad grass? Because it is supposed to be an interactive, you know, it's not like you're just hitting off of the same mat every single time, like simulator golf. You're hitting off of real grass, and there's got to be a penalty for not being in the fairway. So curious about that. Just how the design process really got started with him, how they were selected. I think it's so interesting to hear about how you design holes that are not real life. So we'll see if there's much difference. It looks like it's very different to me. So looking forward to talking to our guy, Augie.
Very much so. We'll get to that right now. Enjoy our conversation with Augie Pisah on the holes he designed for TGL.
All right, guys, our full TGL preview continues on, and we have Augustine Pisah. He's an award-winning golf course architect, the director of the First Tee in Mexico, and his design firm, Pisah Golf, was selected to design holes for TGL that you'll see in the SoFi Center very shortly. And Augie, as you go by, I'm Carter,
But I go by Smiley, and we have Charles. It goes by Charlie. So we're all going to shortify our names here today. And Augie, first, thank you for coming on. This is really great, as we're going to go roll through a lot of your template designs. But before we get there, I want to know, in just your basic, you know, course, golf course designing, when you got the first call or just the hint of what TGL was, and it's, and just your firm throwing in your designs, or throwing in your designs in the hat of trying to be involved with it.
Oh, this is fantastic. Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited. And yes, let's just keep the name simple. This is a simple thing we can do. And also, thank you for the accent. I really like the pisah.
We've been practicing. Spoiler, we'll pull the curtain back a little. We've been doing some practice.
Love it. So you can just imagine, over a year and a half ago, was when I received this call that I was luckily recommended to this, you know, to the three design firms that were going to do TGL or the design behind it. And I didn't know the other names at the time. I just had a call. I went to Florida and I had an interview during the golf show in Orlando with Scott Armstrong and Andrew, of course. And it was like, oh man, when they were explaining this to me, I was like, I wasn't surprised, because I knew, and I've always kind of like liked and peeked into technology. And that was part of why I got the call. I had one of my designs, the Pit, is in Golf Plus, the Oculus Quest. Yeah. It's right there in the middle of the driving range. If you have them, check it out. Wow. It's right there in the middle of the driving range, one of our designs. So I did have an inclination towards, I do have, and on top of that, we have been known to create different concepts, you know, like butterfly golf, like wellness golf, multi-purpose golf, in back since 2017, 18, 19. And we kind of like got a little bit, I don't know, a little bit known in this, particularly in the States, because of that, because of these concepts and thinking outside the box and doing things that are a little bit unnormal per se. So anyway, we're sitting down there and I'm getting this interview of this beautiful, beautiful idea of hitting into a simulator of a hybrid golf and hitting into a simulator and then putting real life and chipping real life. Obviously I accepted immediately. I didn't have a poker face. I don't usually have a poker face anyway. It's not my style. So if I get excited, you'll know it. You'll see it. You'll vibe it. And it was great. And it was what I think still was love at first sight. And then from there, it was the most difficult part was actually not mentioning it for a year and a half because of everything that happened last year. And now, that was probably the toughest part of all. It was like, oh my God, I really want to say this. And all of that was a good kind of like meditation exercise. So I can't tell anybody. So it was like a good exercise in the ego aspect. I love that. So, it was great, and we've been designing for over a year and trying to do some very original things, a little out of the box thinking. But the line stops where how can we do something special but still not, you know, respect the integrity of the game? So my quick design philosophy was, let's think as much out of the box as we can, but the golf holes have to be doable to a certain extent in real life.
Augie, I think your background is so fascinating because you're from Mexico. You're born and raised, I believe you said, Tijuana. You know,
TJ. Keep it simple.
TJ, another great. We got another little acronym, a little shortened version. But then you go and you get your master's in golf course architecture at Edinburgh University in Scotland. Yeah. So two very different styles of golf, two very vibrant styles of golf. How do those different backgrounds influence your philosophy on golf course architecture?
Oh, completely. Completely. It was night and day. Imagine. I was very lucky growing up in the industry. In 1998, my first gig was working for Paragon Golf, at that point, Jack Nicklaus's construction company. So I was doing Palmilla, El Dorado, and then Terencia for Tom Fazio, for a Tom Fazio design in Cabo. That was my first schooling of golf architecture. Just imagine that. I was very spoiled. Wow. Obviously, I mean, I was working completely underneath. I was making sure the labor had water, cold water in their jugs and stuff. That was my first assignment. So that was pretty cool. So it was all in construction, and I started to learn golf from the ground up. And that's one of our competitive advantages is that we're very keen in construction. We know we value engineer while we design. Constructibility is very important. We can't just hallucinate something. That's very easy, but is it constructible? So is it buildable? So anyway, when that happens, imagine all this, you know, in the States, it's all, you know, bigger, better, bolder. It's let's do this. Let's move that. Let's that hill right there on the right. Let's put it on the left. So when I went to Edinburgh, it was, my first assignment. I'm like, I got this. Oh man, give me that piece of paper. Gave me that. And it was a one hole assignment. And it was like, you know, I was moving soil like crazy, digging a huge lake here, building a mound on the left, digging another mound on the right, squeezing the golf hole in there. And I got my behind chewed on that first assignment by everybody. The critique, everything I got, it was horrendous. But it was an eye-opening experience because over there, it's completely the opposite. It's, it's the, you know, it's conservative. It's the, it's ecological. It's, you know, less consuming in everything, in money and time and in everything. So it was a very eye-opening experience. And to answer your question, it was an eye-opener and a very educational, which that was a point of my master's degree, because I now meet those ends, meet those extremes in the middle, and that's part of our creations now. But yeah, that was exciting times.
Love that.
I imagine so. And Augie, I think it's time to, you know, take a peek and an in-depth look at some of these incredible designs that your team has come up with. And if you're listening, you can always go back and watch this on our YouTube channel, because it's nice to have a picture of what this looks like, because even as we describe it, I still feel like you have to get a visual of how just extreme the graphics are and how unique these designs are. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. And I think we have to start with, I think, the design that really has me excited for just classic risk reward. It looks like it's based in somewhere in the hills of South America. It's got two triangles pinched in the middle. And it's called Temple, and it's 500 yards. I think it's a really unique risk-reward hole, because if you hit driver, Augie, it looks like it's right at the potential neck there.
That is the beauty. I mean, you hit it right. I mean, I don't know if I can explain it better, Smiley. That was beautiful. And and that, now, I can tell you the philosophy behind this, because one of the things, and it is one of my favorites as well, and thank you for your comment, arriving to simplicity is one of the hardest things. Yes. As a painter, as a sculptor, as an architect, as a musician, arriving to simplicity takes hours and hours and hours of practice. And when we started to design the temple, well, obviously we didn't know what we were going to do at the starting point, but architecture is the play of forms, or the play with forms. Yes. Geometrical forms. So we started to create, let's keep it as simple as we can create this. And when I played with these two pinched triangles, I'm like, this is it. This is the ultimate risk and reward.
It really is.
not necessarily golf hole, but the ultimate risk and reward design form with the most simplistic way of designing a hole.
it's and, almost like it would be cool to be able to do this in real life, but it's so built for simulator golf, and we're looking at kind of the you know, what the preferences would be. You know, it even says a crosswind preferred. Absolutely, you want a crosswind on this hole. You want to try to create indecision of the players and in the teams, right? Like, because the cool thing about this hole, right, is you can hit, you know, a hybrid. You can hit a four iron off the tee to a wider area, but then you have a riskier second shot. Now, if you hit the driver and you find the fairway, you're going to have a shorter iron, but there is a penalty for missing the fairway. And I don't know exactly how it works, because if it doesn't cross, I assume you drop all the way back. So you're probably hitting a 240 yard shot. So I love that. That was what is going to make this thing sing, is designs like this. And you get the players having to make a decision and having these players geek out talking about strategy.
Well, and oh, by the way, they have to do it on a 40-second shot clock, which I love. I mean, it's phenomenal for that reason.
Yes, it is. It is, and I'm very, pumped up and excited about how this is going to map out there with that 40-second shot clock, and that's the best reward that we can have as architects as well as our creators is if they take those extra 10 seconds to. Have a game plan on one of these holes. That's a big reward for us.
Yeah. So Augie, we're looking at the Temple hole, and I think as we go on to the next five holes that we're going to go through, my next question is how many holes did your team design, and in TGL, how many holes are they going to play in a round, and how many of your holes get featured? Is it a week in which, because there's two other course designers as well in this program, are they just able to hand pick holes, or do these holes all fit? Because now we're looking at the next hole, which is in a beach format, which is completely opposite from the hills of South America. So if you could just maybe give us some insight of how many holes you design and how many you think will be featured each week.
And this is Plank, by the way. You're looking at Plank, a 380 yard par four.
Yes, this is a drivable par four for the big boys, obviously, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But we were commissioned to design 15 holes. And like I said, I mentioned, we're very, very privileged and honored to be in the same equation with the Invictus Companies and Bo Welling, which because of our career, we've known very well, and we have a good friendship, good relationship. So that was awesome. Now the other thing that I can talk here a little bit is that we were in a vacuum. Nobody can talk. We could not talk to each other. We could not say hi. We could not even wink to each other if we saw each other out in the street. So, so it was like, you're going to do your own thing. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to do your own thing, and you cannot speak to each other. So that was kind of cool when we interacted at the end, probably a year later, more than a year later, that it was like, oh, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? So it was a great conversation.
Yeah.
And, so you'll see a lot of different golf holes, different settings, different atmospheres, and I don't know how many holes at the end each team versus team is going to play out of each ones, but they do have all of these holes to choose from.
So there's 45 holes available. For TGL to kind of figure out how many of each are going to be played.
Exactly. So they're going to be played, and they're going to pick and choose. I don't know what's the setting for that in playability wise, but there will be a choice of us three designers. And so that was kind of like a cool thing. Going back to the plank.
Go back to Plank, Charlie, so we can take one look at it.
It's a drivable par three, drivable par four.
Yeah.
That is a little bit uphill, 6% uphill, but I would like to think that it's one of the most strategic golf holes that we have designed. And this is because of the perspective. You see the cross bunkers there.
Yes.
One of the perspectives, when you're down at 6 degrees coming up, the only thing that you will see is a lot of bunkers in your face. It will be very difficult to see the landing areas. So if you would be standing back there, you would see like right there. That's a good shot.
That's my nightmare. That's my nightmare.
Exactly. But you have like eight different options to land, Smiley. You have like eight different options to land. You can. It's just a little bit over 300 yards. So you can three wedge it in for a par, or or a short iron, yeah, and then wedge up, or a 3-wood and then another wedge, or a driver and drive it, or just a quick chip in. Now, the absolute reward comes by taking a high draw on the right there where that thing is,
325.
Where that spot is. That's the key shot right there.
So Augie, all right. So this is my next player question that's coming out here, because we know that the players are going to be hitting off of grass into the simulator screen, but where do we draw the line as far as when the players will have to hit shots that is in the green that's in front of them?
In the green zone.
So in the plank, I think, is the perfect way to ask that question, because those cross bunkers that are well short, you know, that's kind of that awkward bunker shot that it looks to be like a 40, 50 yard bunker shot. Is that something that they will hit indoors or I should say into the simulator? Or is that something that they will hit in or is it just greenside bunker shots, I guess is my question.
No, they should be able to hit, if they land on one of those bunkers, they should be able to hit it from the artificial sand, but good sand bunker towards the
simulator.
The simulator. What you hit when you turn around and start hitting on the green zone is anything between 40 and 60 yards in.
Okay, so those cross bunkers, that's a little further back, so it's not quite 40 yards, it's more like 80.
Yes.
Okay. So
anything between 40 and 60 more or less would be live, they would have a pointer where the ball lies, and then you hit it on the artificial turf.
It's going to be tricky, I think, Charlie, for, you know, when you can't feel wind and you see on the screen, like, for instance, Temple, we just talked about, let's say it's this 10-mile-an-hour crosswind. You know, players are so used to making adjustments based on what they feel. Now they're going to have to really rely on just trusting what a 10-mile-an-hour wind is. I think if you told a lot of players, hey, hit a, you know, an 80 yard wedge shot, they rely on their eyes a lot, and it's going to be difficult, I think, for a lot of players to get accustomed to the technology.
Well, and what it reminds me of, and Augie, I don't know, when I look at all your designs, it reminds me of Tiger Woods 2004, some of those, you know, like the Predator, the course in South America, and it's a similar thing, as you're looking at a little wind arrow that says, you know, 27 miles an hour, and you're trying to kind of figure it out. And of course, you're not hitting a shot, you're playing with a controller. But that's what I love about this is when the concept was first introduced, you're not knowing what type of a course is going to be designed. Is it going to be a straightforward course? Are they going to play a course that exists in real life? But what y'all did with this, to me, I find very compelling and very interesting, because it's like Tiger Woods 04 come to life in a sense.
It is a great analogy. And yes, this is a, you know, I think everybody did. I'm loving the designs from Bo Welling, you know, from Chad Getz, of Nicklaus. They're absolutely fantastic. I'm enjoying them a lot. It's kind of cool to see what they did on the other side. You know, you're out there, you're out there, risking as a creator, you're out there putting, you know, your everything on the line. Let's go. Let's do this. You know? Creativity is very easy to see backwards. So, when the designs are out there, it's very, the easiest thing to do is critique them. Of course, because you're looking at them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the players are going to have a lot of fun with these designs. And I think a lot of folks are expecting to see, you know, the simulator golf is to see just normal PGA Tour golf courses that they're going to be playing. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get and turn on the TV and they see these unique holes. I think it's going to captivate just the imagination, not only of the fans watching, but also the players as well. So let's fly through these last three here, Charlie, because Bonnie Lake is interesting to me.
Okay.
Bonnie Lake.
You'll see all them. Sorry, Charlie. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tee up Bonnie Lake, a 650-yard par 5. And also I was going to say here, this is a little bit of Edinburgh University here, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It's a note. You'll find out in our designs that we created these two or three little odes. There's one very special that will eventually come out. And this is no different. This is a special hole reminding me of my, you know, my 2 years spent in the British Isles in the UK. And it started as the concept was to create an infinite sign that you see right there. It was, if this is made for, you know, match play, made for TV, which I think, going back to your point, Smiley, I think that if we don't lose sight that this is a made for TV event, then I think we're all going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it. If we can, you know, if we can imagine that this runs in parallel to the game we love, it's going to be something very special for all of us.
I'm just curious when I look at this and I see this big old plot of land in the middle of the design of this hole. That's not fairway. It's fescue looking grass. It looks like you would get terrible eyes if you were playing it in real life. How will this be, you know, simulated for the players when they get bad wise? Is it, you know, if they hit it in the middle of that, you know, right? Like in the simulator league, as I understand, most everything they will hit will be from fairway or a fairway bunker. Will there be drops in this situation or just a basic percentage of, hey, this lie is at, like I remember from Tiger Woods growing up, the game, that you expect it to hit about 40% of the total distance. Is that kind of how you're able to simulate, you know, poor shots in this game?
There are some design restrictions that we had and that we learned during the year of designing, because it's, you know, when you're trying to emulate and when you're trying to innovate, obviously things are gonna happen during the design process. One is a very good observation. What you make is that those type of lies. Yes. Well, you know, we have the jacks on the green zone, on the green. But anything that you hit off the tee box will just be the regular tee. Now, the toughest shot that you will have is landing on the rough. The rough out of the tee box of TGL, that's a tough one to.
So there is rough for players to play out. So there is
rough, natural rough, regular fairway, tee box, and the sand.
Oh.
Okay, so that's great.
Didn't know that.
If you know it, it's fantastic. You should go to the test center.
Oh man, Charlie will be there soon.
God, love it. Okay, so that eight, what I did with the design was, if this is going to be a match play, how can I level the court and say, you know, if your strong suit is a draw, you can go to the right. If your strong suit is a fade, take the left. So that levels up the teamwork. You know, it's kind of like now you can have strategy between teams. I'm going to go left. I got this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go right. I got this. But there's a great risk and reward at 320. You see that speed slope right there that it says in the middle?
It's a downslope, probably.
But that's a blind shot onto that area.
Yeah.
So you can take a 270 to 300 fade or draw, or you can go through the middle at 320 and catch a speed slope to get home in two.
That's cool. Wow. And that's right at that number for like guys, if they mishit it at all, boys, you know,
exactly. Yeah. for who this is designed. I mean, at the end, that's the brief. It's how hopefully we make the best golf, you know, players out there think and have fun. That's the bottom line is hopefully they'll have fun playing it and we'll have fun watching them play.
Well, if you've enjoyed this, I mean, we've looked at four incredible holes and we're going to look at two more. So just to remind everyone, you have to make your way over to YouTube to really see the grand, you know, designs of how unique these holes are and how cool they really look visually. The last two we got are par 5, 622 Sidewinder. Does it have any, I mean, Serpent was one that kind of gave you some decisions off the tee. Sidewinder kind of in that same category for the par 5.
Yes, it's a sister. It's a sister of Sidewinder. What we did there, we mirrored, with tweaks here and there. We mirrored it so that instead of having the high draw trajectory as the best shot, now you need the high left trajectory as the first shot.
Oh, okay.
So it's more like a strategy for team play where they say, hey, I want to play Sidewinder. No, I don't want you to play. I want to play the Serpent. So it kind of like takes a shot. If there's a debate out there of which hole we're going to play or which hole is out there to play, then you can decide who's going to take the team.
Okay.
Who's gonna take the shot for the team and which shot. Now, the idea of the serpent and sidewinder is that you can take the high road onto the high area, which is a three shot par five, or you can take the low ground and the second shot is a blind shot into the green zone. So I like to play a lot with humor. I like to, my designs, I like to think that have a little bit of humor in them, a little bit of irony, kind of like, oh, you took the favorable, you know, the position A shot. Well, guess what? Now you have a blind shot into your green zone. You're not going to get a full on reward. You can get access. You have access, but you still need to make a good shot. So I like to play here and there with a little surprising ending as well.
Heck yeah. I love that. Well, Augie, yeah. The last one makes me thirsty. And this is the name of the last hole you have that we're going to take a peek at. And this is On the Rocks. And I actually really love the design of this because it's, well, I love it to look at visually, but I think it kind of scares the crap out of me.
Well, remember, never blended. On the rocks.
Well, look at this.
This is a beautiful, it turned out to be a beautiful hole. And what I love about this, and I need to take this time to thank all of the team behind Full Swing, behind TMRW, behind TGL, because it was a fascinating, after a year and a half of knowing each other, of designing, of producing the designs, of developing the designs, of going back and forth, and everything that we did, and everything that's behind the curtain, all of a sudden it was a great team idea of just going with the turntable and forgetting about the green zone. We were all very, very fixed on the green zone that looks, and Scott has mentioned that looks like a Millennium Falcon. And if you see the serpent, if you see the plank, not the plank, the serpent and if you go back to those, you see the green zone that is complete. In this case, we just played, the idea came out that, hey, why don't we just play with the turntable? And they called me up and I'm like, Augie, what do you think of just using a turntable? I'm like, I love it. Where were you guys all day, all year? So that was a fun exercise. And then once I got the idea, I ran with the, hey, you know, one of the things that we don't have to worry about is access. I don't have to build a bridge. I don't have to do anything. So that's the beauty of it. If you can think outside of that box, a whole world starts opening up. So what did we do? We have that small shot, you know, like a non full shots of 135 onto that platform, and then it spreads out, and you have a draw in of 180 and a fade in of more than 100, maybe 200 yards. So you have all of these fingers sticking out of these peninsulas. And you'll see them right there.
Wow.
And you have different angles and different distances to one par three. And it was a great, great team effort. I love On the Rocks.
Well, Charlie and I are super excited to watch TGL, and congratulations to you. I mean, these designs, the graphics, the strategy involved is really exciting, not only for the players, but the fans. I think it's going to be really fun to see, and hopefully the folks that have been listening and watching this also just got a great sneak peek. And Augustine, Augie, I appreciate your time, man. And congratulations to Pizag Golf, and look forward to seeing you at the Mexico Open. I know you're going to be there with the first tee. So look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes. Yes. Let's do that. Please. Let's meet in Puerto Vallarta, Vidanta, Mexico Open. Yeah, Puerto Vallarta.
Vamos. I'm going to miss you at the Mexico Open, but I will be in Puerto Vallarta very soon to see you. Augie.
Let's do it. Thank you very much, guys. And congratulations on your program. Love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Well, once again, we really appreciate Augie Pissat taking the time to talk to us. And I just love everything about that guy. We texted Augie on the back end.
He's great, man.
He wants to hang with you at the Mexico Open. He wants us to come down to Puerto Vallarta. He's just a good, good human being.
I feel like we need to talk in an accent the rest of this podcast.
Yes.
Just really emphasize
are ours. And
I'm already having severe FOMO of the week you two are going to have, and the high end tequila you're going to drink down there when you are with him in Vedanta. I'm really bummed to be missing that.
Oh yeah, a lot of energy from that guy, and I love it.
Love it. Well, okay. As we promised off top of the show, this is the moment of truth, Smiley. We are picking our allegiances for this league, and there are a lot of good squads out there to choose from. A lot of fan favorites, you know, spread out across all these teams. Mm-hmm. So I will give you the stage first, so you can do your signing day announcement and announce which team it is you're going to be rocking this year for the TGL.
All right. So we're going to go in an elimination factor here. We're going to mention all the teams because they're all considered. They're all very worthy of being picked. There isn't a weak link of any of these teams. So why don't we just start out with the teams just so everybody knows who we're working with here. The Atlanta Drive, JT, my boy, Patrick Cantlay, Billy Horschel, and Lucas Glover. Next team, Boston Common Golf, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Keegan Bradley, Adam Scott, and potentially the best logo and brand of the entire deal.
Frogs. Everyone loves the Ball Frogs.
Jupiter Lynx Golf Club. We got T-Dub, Tiger Woods, Max Homa, Tom Kim, and my dog, Kevin Kisner.
Hard to pass up Kiz.
Okay, here we are at the LA Golf Club, Los Angeles Golf Club. We got Colin Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, Justin Rose, and Tommy Fleetwood. Okay.
And they're leaning in on the aesthetics at LA. They've cultivated the strongest brand out there at LA Golf Club.
Have they?
Yeah. I mean, look at the font. It's they designed their own font.
I like the black and white look. Yeah. Okay, two more teams to work with here. The New York Golf Club, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Cameron Young.
They have a cute little bird or like a it pigeon. Is. You think that's a pigeon? Like a New York pigeon?
The logo would get worse in my mind if it's a pigeon. I hope it's just a bird.
I mean, we should do a separate tangent of a podcast on how disrespected pigeons are in the United States of America. They're actually very smart birds. That's for another day. Yeah. I have a podcast I'll send you on pigeons. It's really, really interesting stuff.
All right. Last team, the Bay Golf Club, Ludwig Ober, Wyndham Clark, Min Woo Lee, and Sugar Shane Lowry.
That's a squad right there. That's a wagon right there.
Okay. I will right off the top eliminate three teams. And this was very difficult to do, as I really can make a case for all of these teams to be selected. But the first team I'm going to eliminate is the Los Angeles Golf Club. And the reason why is I think LA and me, I don't know if I'm an LA, guy. Just look You're at not. Me. Like, it would be fake if I was an LA guy. I love the logo. I love the font, like you're talking about. And I really like the guys on the team. I just think that there's going to be plenty of West Coast people that can cheer for LA Golf. And it's just, unfortunately, I've got to pick a team. And Los Angeles is going to be the first eliminated.
You're not going to find the Southern Swoop in Los Angeles. You might not find a single one of them in the greater Los Angeles area. No. So it's not an aesthetic fit for you. It's not a brand fit for you. I totally get that.
Okay. And this is where it gets really complicated, and I'll say this to begin this, because it's not easy eliminating two buddies, but I think like any gossip girl, you just, instead of picking one, you might as well eliminate both. So we're going to have to eliminate Atlanta with JT. We're going to have to eliminate New York with Ricky. I can't pick sides in this situation. And also, Atlanta's not my favorite city. Red with Atlanta. I'm a Saints fan, so naturally can't be an Atlanta Falcons fan in this. So if I'm choosing a city, Atlanta for me was easy to eliminate. Although I'm a Braves fan, it's a weird dynamic with all that.
This is good for you, because this is a really big J journalist move of you to remove all concerns about homerism.
Yes.
Is he going to favor JT's team, Ricky's team? Yes. No. Throw it out the window. They're gone.
Yes. Yes. Also throwing out Ricky's team. New York. I love New York. And I don't like pigeons. So if that is a pigeon, I guess we can.
Well, just wait till you listen to this podcast. You might change your mind.
Then it's easy for me to pick this team to eliminate them, but really difficult to eliminate them. I want to be a fan of all these teams right now, and I'm not trying to come across that way. So Atlanta's been eliminated. Sorry, JT. New York's been eliminated. Sorry, Ricky. And then LA. Sorry to all the West Coasters out there. So what do we have left? We have
finalists here, right?
We have Tiger's team, Jupiter Lynx Golf Club. We have the Bay Golf Club. And then we have the Boston Common Golf, which is Rory, Hideki, Keegan, and Adam.
Okay.
And this is where we have the jerseys. At this point. So we got a jersey reveal. I've actually had a conversation with some the other day. It's like, what am I going to do with all of my jersey collection that I've accumulated in my 20s?
Use it to pick your TGL team, obviously.
Exactly. Now, these aren't TGL logos, but I can work around all of this,
in the ballpark. Yeah,
so let's see what we're working with here. Okay. So we have the Boston.
Wow.
Boston Kyrie jersey.
Ball frog green. You love
that. This thing put in a lot of time and effort over the years. Really was kind of the go-to. It was definitely in the top three in the rotation. Just loved the jersey. I was a big Kyrie fan. Maybe not quite as much now, but was back then. Just loved the way he played the position. This is going on a tangent, but always in the top three. Actually, my top jersey's not even here, which was our Washington Bullets Michael Jordan throwback jersey. That was number one.
People forget you once sat on a crown of Keystone Light while wearing that jersey.
All right, jersey number two, which looks like it's been through the ringer here. We got a D-Wade
iconic
Miami Vice jersey here. This color scheme, when I saw this guy, this quickly became a favorite. A no-brainer beach play when you're on a beach trip with the fellas. And then the one that got the most wear and tear, this was like early, early in Steph Curry's career.
Wow.
Look at this.
Love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that
is an Adidas uniform. Do you know how many years it's been since Adidas held the NBA contract? Like this is early on.
When you look across the beer pong table and you see this jersey and the wear and tear, you know you're up against it.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a tough guy to beat right there.
So we got Steph, we got D-Wade.
Okay.
And we got Kyrie.
I love this is how you're narrowing down these teams.
Okay.
And Steph's an owner. So, Steph's part owner of the Bay. So this is really on brand here.
So what are we going to eliminate first? We're going to eliminate, unfortunately, the Bay Golf Club.
Oof.
And that's my guy, Steph. I love Steph Curry. Like, it's really hard to put this one aside.
Yeah.
But the reason why we're going to have to is similar to the same reason that I eliminated LA Golf Club. Just not a West Coast guy. Yeah, you know,
you're not a Bay Area guy. You're not Silicon Valley guy.
I've not even played golf in San Francisco. How am I supposed to be a Bay Club guy when I haven't even played San Francisco Golf Club or played the Olympic Club? Or TPC Harding Park. I can't be a Bay Golf
Club. You fishing
guy
for an Olympic Club invite? Is that
sneaky?
This guy trying to get on Pasatiempo. What's happening over here?
Which leads us to the team I'm going to support. And
are you going to pick it? Or are you going to eliminate
the
other team?
I'm going to throw on the jersey.
Wow.
The team I'm going to pick.
So just to refresh, you have Ball Frogs on your left shoulder. And you have Jupe Lynx on your right.
Yes.
Here we go. I'll narrate this as Smiley now has his headphones off and is away from a mic. Someone ironically just eliminated the Bay, but he has a painting of the Monterey Peninsula behind him as he is off frame. Oh, and he is wearing the, what do you call it? The Vice City. The Miami Dwayne Wade jersey.
Jupe Lynx, baby, let's go.
Wow.
Okay, how did we get here?
Do tell.
So, when looking at the Boston Common franchise, a lot of things to like. It's the best logo. It's probably the most compelling team. You got Rory, who's in on the whole thing.
You got two Srixon guys and Keegan Hideki. You know we're IHOP guys with Hideki as well. We've had Keegan on the program. Big fan of his. And Adam Scott.
Like Adam Scott's friend of the show as well.
Favorite dudes as well. But it's a public play. If you're cheering for Boston Common, that's a public play. And I think I'm an underdog story guy.
Love it.
So why would you not pick Tiger Woods? Which is the most underdog story in all of this, right? Like Tiger Woods, the best player of potentially of all time.
That's amazing.
And so why are we not going to pick the underdog in this? And we've already written off Tiger's team. We've written off Tiger. Give me Jupe Links and the hero story of Kevin Kisner going from booth to playing in front of this TGL audience and the nightmares that could ensue with who knows what's going to happen. Like he could play incredible. He could play bad. We don't know. But I am so here for the story of Kiz and all of this. So I am Team Kiz, Team Tiger. I'm a little concerned that Tom Kim won't be able to pull the trigger in time. So we're going to have to worry about the
Let's
shot
keep
clock
an eye on that.
With Tom. And then Max, right? Like we love Max.
It's a great squad. It's a great squad.
The only thing that I don't like about Jupiter Golf Links is that red's not in my color wheel.
Got
and
it.
That red, like that was the only reason why I'm like, God, am I going to really pick a red team? Like
I'm sure the good people at Polo can figure something out for you. And also like it's not going to be an issue because Kisner, who's made two of the more memorable appearances on this show that we've had in the entirety of the show, he can get you dialed in all year long with the gear. I mean, every time you see him at the NBC event, I'm bringing some new stuff.
I'm an underdog story guy. I also like who doesn't like cheer for the home team. I'm a home team, and let's cheer for the underdog. Let's have the home team be the winner of this whole thing.
All right, so Smiley is officially a Jupe Links guy, repping the D Wade Vice City jersey. we'll hopefully we can upgrade him into some actual team apparel soon.
Actually, I don't. Why would we when we have this jersey?
Yeah, well, maybe just. Put the hat on top or something, or like a vest or something. I don't know. So Smiley just did like college signing day style. Okay. I'm going to do LeBron James. I want you to imagine me at the Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich. All right. We're all just a kid from somewhere. All right. I'm just a kid from Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I'm going to not knock over that can there and spill over my desk. I'm going to don the golf hat of my high school, the Clovis West Golden Eagles.
Sure.
I'm just a kid from Fresno, California. Shout out to the head coach there, Jason Simonetti.
Even the shirt, over. The shirt plays right into it.
It's just playing to my roots there in Central California. I'm going to go with the Bay. I mean, this team is, you got to love every single player on this team. We got all four of these guys, friends of the show, Ludwig, Wyndham, Minwoo, and Shane. Mm-hmm. Sat down with Wyndham in person at the FedEx St. Jude. Could not have been nicer. Ludwig, of course, as many will remember, is my putter brother. So I remind him of that every time I see him. And yeah, I you know, big Steph Curry fan, you know, big Warriors fan. This just feels like I couldn't go in any other direction on the TGL. I'm going with my, as much as it may seem like I'm some guy from the South, given my acquired, you know, North Carolina accent and my love for the North Carolina Tar Heels, I am just a kid from Fresno, California. And with that said, I'm going back to my roots. I'm supporting the Bay Golf Club.
There you
go. Let's go, Bay.
Let's go. Well,
there we have it.
When do we play each other?
let's take a look. I know the Bay plays the opening match
because I wouldn't mind sitting next to you in my Miami Vice jersey and your.
Oh wait, hold on a second. This actually might be perfect because if this is what I think it is, it's Tuesday, February 25th. I think that's Cognizant Week.
Dude, I think it is Cognizant Week.
Should we make this happen?
100%.
It's Cognizant Week. Okay,
is that Tuesday?
Perfect.
You said?
This was not, that's a Tuesday.
I'll be there, dude. That's
this was incredible. Not scripted at all. This was not scripted at all. This is perfect. All right, we'll reach out to the powers that be at the TGL. It's a showdown. This is perfect because we're going to have so many grudge matches here. We're going to start the year off with Jupelinks versus the Bay, and we're going to close the year at the CFP with North Carolina against LSU.
I'm wearing this jersey. I'm sorry, Jupiter Golf Links. I know that you probably want me to have your branding, but this bad boy's got to come out.
I'm always repping the Golden Eagles in my heart. I may choose to upgrade into the actual Bay apparel.
We might have to do our podcast.
Send me Bay apparel.
We might have to do our podcast live at TGL stream like an hour before this thing gets kicked off. Because that just makes sense, right?
I think 100%. Yeah. Let's get it on the calendar. Cognizant week. We're making it happen. I love this. This is great. This worked out perfect. So that's it. I mean, you've heard from a player, you've heard from an architect, you've heard what we're fired up about, and you know which teams are supporting. So I guess really all that's left is if you're on the YouTube right now, drop in the comments who you're going to be supporting and let us know, and look forward to the live podcast on the 25th when Jupe takes on the Bay.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's go.
We appreciate y'all watching and listening. We hope you're also as fired up about the TGL as we are. And I guess a early Merry Christmas to you, because we're taking the next week off so that we can not talk to each other at all. And I can play golf in South Florida with a do not disturb on. And then we'll be back the week leading into the new year. So we'll have an episode on December 30th and on January 1st. One of those is going to be a season preview. And the other, I think, can I say the player's name now? Can I tease it? Another West Coast guy, Maverick McNealy. Yes, so indeed. We are pumped. He had a great finish, of course, to this PGA Tour season at the RSM Classic, and really, really smart, interesting guy. So looking forward to hearing from him on a number of different topics. But you'll get Mav, you'll get a season preview, and then we'll be off and running. Smiley will be in Hawaii at the Century, at the Sony, and we'll have new golf to talk about. So I'm fired up for that.
I can't wait to walk upstairs and my wife's going to be like, why are you wearing a jersey? And you're going to walk downstairs and Amanda's like, why are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
It has been chaos around here for the last, I guess.
You don't even know.
Yeah. I've got my son is now saying Tar Heels and Belichick. I mean, it sounds like Tar Heel and Belichick, but we've got a number of months to get ready. So it's great. I'm going to go continue to celebrate that. And that's perfect. All I got.
All right, buddy. Go Gamecocks.
Appreciate it. Go Gamecocks. Golly, I can't wait for the season to start. Appreciate y'all watching and listening. As always, Merry Christmas to you all, whatever else it is you're celebrating this month of December. And we will talk to you in about a week as we get ready to kick off the 25 season. Talk to you then.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes. So I'm happy to come on and shoot the